Before the 16th century, the Europeans were barely aware of the existence of the Americas. This was the great age of exploration, and old world European nations were eager to lay claim to large areas of the new world. They were encouraged by their belief that fabulous wealth existed in these lands simply for the taking. So they came to Mexico, to an area which had been occupied by a number of civilizations, which is known today as Mesoamerica. When Cortes and his small army landed in 1519 in Mesoamerica, they were amazed by what they found. They discovered the great Aztec civilization, which stretched from the Atlantic coast to the Pacific coast. This civilization contained approximately 15 million people, the majority of whom lived in about 500 cities.
The Aztecs were half barbarian, half civilized. They dressed with skins. They practiced agriculture when they were able to. They were the last tribe to enter the Valley of Mexico.
The empire was made up from many different groups, each with their own culture and traditions. The Aztecs were comparative latecomers to the Valley of Mexico, but when Cortes landed, they ruled an empire. Other civilizations had already come and gone, and much of the culture, which we call Aztec, has its origin in some of these earlier cultures. The rise and fall of the Aztec Empire is better understood when we examine the early history of Mesoamerica pre-Aztec dominance. Between about 7,000 and 5,000 BC, agriculture began to develop. Maize, beans, avocado and chili, as well as squashes, were grown, and gradually the people became farmers. By 2000 BC, they were living in villages of wattle and daub houses. Between 1000 and 300 BC, the population of Mesoamerica expanded, and people began to live in small cities. Mesoamerican societies evolved to new levels, and while agriculture remained the basis of their economy, economic expansion was achieved through warfare and the exacting of tribute from conquered tribes. Over 2,000 years, Teotihuacan, Toltecs, and finally the Aztecs left their mark on Mesoamerica. Maya civilization was also important in the development of Mesoamerica. The Maya culture was at its greatest between the years 300 and 900 AD. At the end of this period, many of the great cities were at least partially abandoned, and the forests took over again. However, there are many magnificent remains, especially in North and East Yucatan, and the people did not disappear. There are still about 4 million Maya living in Mexico, Guatemala, Belize, and Honduras.
For a lot of people, the popular view of the Maya is a lost civilization in the jungles that came from nowhere and disappeared in a mysterious way. And nearly all of those propositions is wrong. And there are Maya who were living in temperate mountains, there were Maya living in dry deciduous forests, and there were Maya in the rainforest. So there are lots of different Maya living in slightly different ways and different living conditions.
The Maya were never one single nation, but rather separate kingdoms which sometimes fought against each other. This was typical of Mesoamerica, where the basic political unit was the city-state with its own ruler. In general, and the Maya were no exception, the larger cities conquered their weaker neighbors and made political alliances.
We can now read a lot of the hieroglyphic inscriptions And in these, there are very clear references to wars between one city and another, sometimes between close neighbors. There are records of conquest. There are records of the king of one particular place being replaced by a client from another. And every city was trying to take advantage of its neighbors, so that the more powerful ones were able to create little miniature empires and to put their own rulers or their own clients in some of the neighboring states.
None of the Maya mini-empires attained the size of the Aztec ones. Today, most of their great cities, each with its own particularly interesting buildings and artifacts, has been christened with a modern archaeological name, due to the fact that we simply do not know the original names. Tikal was an enormous place, where up to 50,000 people lived when it was at its most powerful. Its tall temples can still be seen rising above the forest. Palenque is the site of many royal palaces, each king adding something new and more splendid to the previous palace. Uxmal is the place of the pyramids, and Chichen Itza is the site of one of the observatories. The Maya were skilled astronomers, able to chart the progress of certain planets, and they could even predict eclipses. They were particularly fascinated by the progress of the planet Venus, which they held in awe. They noticed that Venus was visible in the morning sky for 263 successive days, and would then disappear for 60 days. The date of the reappearance of Venus was significant, and a signal to prepare to go to war. Venus was a Mayan god, one of the many capable of bringing death in its wake.
Well, for the Maya and for all the Mesoamericans in general, the gods were very much ever present, not just as something abstract up in the heavens, but as people or beings which intervened directly in all aspects of daily life. The gods were there, watching over everything, with a potential to intervene at any moment, and because of this, you had to make the right offerings, to go through the right rites, otherwise things would go very badly wrong.
One of the most impressive cities of Mesoamerica was Teotihuacan, which predated the Aztecs by more than 500 years. It was believed by later peoples that it was in Teotihuacan that the gods had gathered in order to create the sun. It was the biggest pre-Aztec settlement of the northern area of Mesoamerica. In fact, Teotihuacan was the sixth largest city in the world in 600 AD. It stretched out over 13 square kilometers and had at its center a number of flat-topped pyramids which once had temples and shrines on their summits. Long after it had been abandoned, Teotihuacan continued to play a significant role in the religious life of Mesoamerica. Even in the 16th century, famous rulers such as Moctezuma I and Moctezuma II were making pilgrimages to the long-abandoned ancient city temples. Maya cities were also impressive, with broad streets and religious and secular buildings.
In the center, you would see all the big buildings which the tourists visit at the present day, the great temples on top of their pyramids, the palaces of the ruler and his family and the governing elite and the major civil servants and warriors and so on. Then as you go out from the center, you begin to move into a more open sort of layout, with houses surrounded by their gardens, with the occasional temple or palace. What you don't find is a regular street now. And what you don't normally find until much later in the history of the Maya is densely packed towns of the kind that we think of when you look at urban London or something like that. It's a much more open, much more loosely structured, with a less obvious traffic flow.
The biggest Maya buildings were the pyramids, which were used as burial places for their rulers. This pyramid at Uxmal is enormous, with steps up one side and a small temple built on top. It was here in the pyramid temples that Maya kings and nobles performed their ceremonies and prayed to the dead king, who lay beneath their feet in the pyramid.
Many of the famous Maya pyramids were in fact sepulchres. Underneath these pyramids are the tombs. So we actually have the bones, the remains of individuals who are as real as Alexander the Great or Julius Caesar. And the temples which were reconstructed on top of these tomb pyramids were linked with and connected with the deceased, but also his lineage, his dynasty, and his ancestry. So the whole thing is simultaneously political and religious. And in the Maya world, the two were never really separated.